that the Lord will work it out. I went and laid down in bed, and he said, you got a word for these precious daughters of mine. So here I am. So Father, we come to you and we give thanks to you. And what an encouragement just to be here this morning and to hear the kind of work that you're doing and in so many ways. And I pray that none of us would ever lose heart. We would always press into Jesus, the love of our souls, in whose name we pray. Amen. I thought I'd just give a very quick overview of the book of Ruth. I mean, thumbnail. And then we're going to see some things in this particular book that Ruth went through, Naomi went through, and how God worked in each of them and did an incredible work in redemption. The book of Ruth is a love story. And it's a picture of redemption, a picture of Jesus as our kinsman redeemer. I'm so thankful for Jesus, aren't you, that he redeemed you. He paid a price for your life. It's a story about a family from Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. And we're here in our own little Bethlehem today, house of bread, to meet with the bread that brings life, our precious Jesus. This family in Bethlehem, the husband's name was Elimelech, married a woman named Naomi, and they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And then we see that a famine came to the land. They didn't know what to do. So they went to the land of Moab. The Moabites were descendants of Lot. They were pagans, idol worshippers. The two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, married Moabite women. Mahlon married Ruth, and Chilion married Orpah. However, after 10 years, Elimelech died, Mahlon died, and Chilion died. So not only was there famine, there's loss, there's death, and Ruth and Naomi became widows. It's a pretty sad start to this story, isn't it? To this account. I hate to call them stories, but sometimes I do. They're not stories. These are biblical accounts. These are real. Well, Ruth and Naomi decided, well, we're going to return to Bethlehem. And they had nothing. Absolutely needy. No food. No jobs. And God put before them a wealthy landowner by the name of Boaz. He was a Hebrew man, and he allowed Ruth to go into his fields to glean. They would leave portions of the field, the corners of the field, unharvested so that those that were poor could come and take whatever they needed for themselves. And that's what Ruth did, and she became acquainted with Boaz, and they began to develop a relationship, and he protected her, and he cared about her, and always looked out for her. When Ruth returned to Naomi with some of the grains that she gleaned from the fields, Ruth told Naomi that she was in Boaz's field. And it was then that Naomi told Ruth that Boaz was a kinsman. He was related. Well, Ruth and Boaz, they fell in love. And by this point in time, the land that was Naomi's was up for sale. She had no husband anymore. Wanted to sell the land. And the nearest male relative could redeem it. That's the law of the levirate marriage. And then also to bring forth the family name. Well, Ruth is in the picture here. So not only was it to redeem the land, but to redeem Ruth as well. and carry on that family name. Well, this near kinsman, this near relative was very willing to redeem the land, but as far as Ruth, he goes, No, I don't want to marry Ruth. So that opened up the door for another, this man named Boaz. He was the next one in line. And this man, Boaz, Naomi knew of the relationship that they had, he and Ruth, and also the relationship that they had with the family. And Ruth was instructed by Naomi to just rest at Boaz's feet. Boaz is a picture of Jesus, our kinsman redeemer. We need to rest at his feet too. And how important it is for us to spend that sweet and precious time with our kinsman redeemer. Well, that's exactly what Ruth did. And then Boaz was permitted to marry Ruth and redeem the land and also to redeem Ruth. Now, from this relationship that they had, this union of Boaz and Ruth, would come a line of descendants that gave birth to King David. God's amazing how he works things out, isn't he? And from King David, of course, from his lineage, came the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in this account of Boaz and Ruth that the Jew and Gentile came together in Jesus Christ the Messiah. Salvation to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. But we've seen some things in this book of Ruth that just touched on today. There was famine. They were needy. There was death. There was sadness. There is sorrow. But then on the other hand, there's provision. God provided miraculously. We also heard a little bit about rest. And in the rest that Ruth did at the feet of Boaz, she received comfort too. And ultimately salvation. In the book of Job, chapter 19, verse 25, Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Well, given these things that we just touched on, the famine, the death, the needs, the provision, the rest and comfort, and ultimately salvation, how can we relate to these things today? With the book of Ruth as kind of a backdrop, we can look at that and say, well, gee, all these things that Ruth experienced, all these things that Naomi experienced, I'm experiencing these things too. Famine. Maybe you know some folks that are hungry. There's a lot of hunger in the world. Maybe there's some folks that are hungry in your family for physical provision, needs that arise. And in today's environment, we see another kind of famine too. A spiritual famine, don't we? But God forbid we would have a spiritual famine within the church. Yet, it's happening. The Word of God says that in the latter days, there would be a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. Not a famine of the Word, a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. You know, Dawn had shared just a few minutes ago how she was having a difficult time hearing. But she was seeking. She wanted more, she wanted more, she wanted more. And God, if there's anything in my life that's preventing me from hearing your voice, Lord, take it out. But sadly, there's many in the world today that have, they put earmuffs on, right? Earplugs. I don't want to hear about the Word of God. I don't want to hear the truth because they don't even acknowledge it as truth. And you see the wave of cynicism throughout our land, throughout the world right now. And I'm not saying that these are bad people that think those things, but you know what, family? It's a sign of folks that have no hope. No hope. And you see, hopelessness leads to cynicism, doesn't it? If you don't have hope, what do you start focusing on? All the junk that floats around. And people can become very down, very discouraged, very depressed. So yes, for sure, there's a famine in the land right now. And some folks are even starving spiritually because of this whole COVID thing. Afraid to go out. Afraid to associate with people. And I'm not saying none of their fears are legitimate. I'm not saying that at all. Because as Jackie shared earlier, every single person needs to hear from the Lord what's best. He knows what's best. But the point I'm trying to make is that there's many that have taken a step back because of the times that we're in. But you know what we can do? We can just pray for them. We can pray for them. And if you're going through something right now, some kind of famine, whatever kind it might be, know that your Redeemer lives. Amen. And you can look up and know that Jesus is alive. He hasn't given up. He will never give up. He rules and reigns. For how long? Forever. My Redeemer lives. Maybe some of you are experiencing illness. Anybody going through some bouts with illness right now? Don't be afraid to raise your hand. Or you know, you are Peggy. Your Redeemer lives. Amen. Trust Him through it. Some are experiencing family members that are ill. Jackie mentioned her dad. We weren't sure he would live beyond our visit last night. We just didn't know. But you know what? In his heart, he knows his Redeemer lives. Amen. My dad had a stroke about 8-9 weeks ago. There's a lot of stuff going on. Our daughter, you know, I mean, a little over a year ago, she was diagnosed with cancer. But she knows that her Redeemer lives. And it gives her strength. And even when she had a biopsy a couple of weeks ago, she said to Jackie, "It has so blessed our heart." She goes, "You know, Mom, I'm crying tears of joy because the results were negative of the biopsy. It's benign. But I knew, and I wasn't afraid because I'm good either way." Amen. Words of faith, huh? Because of Jesus. Because she knows that her Redeemer lives. Jackie's brother Mark, going through a miserable time right now with cancer in his bones, in his skull, and other places in his body too. Maybe some of you have loved ones that are going through really difficult times. And there's a lot of that right now. Now, Kathy, I think of Tracy's co-worker's daughter. I don't know whether she knows the Lord or not. But we can have hope, family, because we know that our Redeemer lives. You know, praise God that Ruth and Naomi were able to come together in a wonderful way, in a relationship. And pagan, in a Hebrew, God brought them together. In a relationship. And maybe some of you are going through some relationship things right now. A relationship that's fractured or broken or maybe not even existent. And maybe you've been praying and praying and praying, "God, I want this to change. If I'm the one to change, then change me. Because I want this to work." Please, ladies, don't give up. Because your Redeemer lives. He lives. And He knows all about it. We see pestilence in the world today. Viruses, illness, you name it. I mean, it's coming at us in a whole bunch of different ways right now. New strains, and people are afraid. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. And He'll take care of you. Because your Redeemer lives. Maybe some are experiencing anger. You know, we can get wrapped up in in ourselves when we think about the deception that's taking place in our own government systems right now and our own courts. You know, we see deception and we can become angered over that. But anger, unrighteous anger, is sin. The king's heart is in hand of our Lord. Amen. And he moves it as he moves the waters. I think we touched on this on Wednesday night. So if that's the case, if it's up to Jesus, let's let Jesus be Jesus and do what he does. Because our Redeemer lives. He lives and he rules and he reigns. Naomi and Ruth had a need. Kasai, you need a job, right? Yeah. God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Your Redeemer lives. Our Redeemer lives. Provision. There's a lot of people without jobs right now. A lot of people wondering how the bills are going to get paid. Oh, please send a stimulus check. Send it. God, send relief, please. He's your present help in trouble. Amen. Our Redeemer lives, and he rules, and he reigns. How about rest? Ruth rested at Boaz's feet and she found comfort. Are you resting or are you restless? Only a few letters different, right? But a huge difference in meaning. Where do we find our rest? We find it in our Lord Jesus Christ because he lives, our Redeemer lives. Kathy, you can rest tonight because your mom was rescued, right? Praise God. Dawn, you can rest in the fact that your ears are open to the voice of your God. Amen. Your Redeemer lives. And we can find our comfort in him, can't we? Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to leave you my comforter. Are you resting in the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God? I can't imagine that life here on planet Earth is going to get any easier. Can you? Oh, there's going to be better days, there's going to be worse days, but I think in general, especially as we approach what we would consider to be the end of the age, things are getting stirred up. But Jesus said they would. And we can trust in him. We can trust in his word because he's alive. Our Redeemer lives. He rules and he reigns. And he's not going to forsake you. He's not going to forsake me. And maybe you have loved ones that you care so deeply about. And perhaps you're wondering, are they ever going to come to Christ? Your Redeemer lives. And he has not withdrawn his Holy Spirit from trying to gain their attention. There was people that thought the Spirit of God was not trying to get my attention before I came to him. My wife was one of them. But I know that he didn't give up on me. And my bride didn't give up on me. And many others that were sharing Christ with me didn't give up on me because they trusted in the work of the Lord. And I'm so thankful for those that shared with me, those that prayed for me. You should be thankful for those that pray for you, shared with you, continue to encourage you. And, you know, this is an encouraging morning, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? Jackie shared, you know, it's been a year, over a year. I think maybe the last one that you ladies had was November. Is that right? Or October? Before the holidays and so on? Or maybe even, I don't know, it was a while ago. But you know what? Here you are today, being encouraged and strengthened, knowing that your Redeemer lives. Don't ever, ever lose sight of Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of Him. And when things seem to be piling up around you, look up and know that He lives, Amen. He rules, and He reigns. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. And Father, we thank You that our Redeemer does live. And You sit upon the throne. And You ever live to make intercession for us. And I thank You for these precious women, my sisters in Christ, that have chosen to be here today to sit at Your feet, to rest at Your feet, to find strength and comfort in times of need. Thank You for Your protection. I thank You for Your provision. I thank You for Your peace that passes understanding. I thank You, Father, for the joy that You give us, joy in Jesus. And for those that have things going on in their lives right now, I think of Peggy and her health situation. We lift her up to You. Kasai needing a job, Father, You're a great provider. Thank You for protecting those that have stumbled and fallen. For those that are hospitalized, those that have loved ones that don't know You, Lord. Those that maybe are discouraged and need to be picked up by You, Father, we thank You for that. Thank You, Lord, for providing the rest that we find in You. I pray, Lord, that You would continue the work that You've begun in us. You promise that You're faithful to complete it. So we lay our hearts before You. We lay our very lives before You. And help us, Lord, to continually look up. For we know that our precious Redeemer, Jesus Christ, lives, rules, and reigns. And it's in that name that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and praise Him. If you have any prayer needs,